securities offered through J.W. Cole Financial Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. Exit and Retirement Strategies Incorporated and J.W. Cole Financial are not affiliated. Any opinions are those of Bill Black and not necessarily those of J.W. Cole Financial or J.W. Cole Advisors Incorporated. Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who need cutting-edge information as they prepare their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit plans. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss the Exit Coach Audible, the daily one-minute planning tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, Bill Black.
Well, thank you very much for that great introduction, Spike Reel, and welcome everyone to the Exit Coach Radio Show. I'm a certified exit planner. I've been helping business owners, especially baby boomers, to develop and implement business succession and exit plans for the last 20 plus years. So if you're a baby boomer, you're in the right place. But now, how do you know if you're a baby boomer? First of all, you're born between 1946 and 1964, so you're between 49 and 67 years old this year. Second, you're in good company because there are over 12 million baby boomer business owners out there right now. The big problem is that there are so many baby boomers that own businesses that are heading for the exit in the next few years that most of you will really have to do a lot to stand out so that you'll be able to exit your business successfully. As one person put it, you'll have to be a gem in a world full of rocks. So the purpose of this show is to help baby boomer business owners hear from top professionals and get ideas, strategies, and precautions so that you're better than the rest out there. And before we get started, I'd like to thank OCTalkRadio.net, from whose state-of-the-art studios in Costa Mesa, California, we're broadcasting live, and our sponsors who have made this show possible, Exit and Retirement Strategies, The Values Institute, and Olive Crest. For information about these companies, please visit our website at ExitCoachRadio.com. And now I'm very pleased to introduce our very first guest today. Kenneth August is visiting us. He's an attorney from August Law Group in Irvine. And Kenneth has a specialty in working with businesses of all sizes, especially when they're working in international types of structures. And Kenneth, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here. And let's start by giving our audience a brief overview of you and your company. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what you do?
Sure, I'd be happy to. As you said, I'm a business attorney. I've been in practice for over 26 years. Started my practice on the East Coast in Washington, D.C., where I went to school. And then in 1990, came to California with a very large international law firm called Graham & James. Afterward, I decided that I really wanted to work more with entrepreneurial companies. I really enjoy the strategic aspect of business planning and helping clients to obtain their objectives that way. And so for that period of time, I've had my own firm. I have attorneys that work under me, and we have affiliations with other firms to bring in the specialties as we need them. It's a full-service business law firm. We do everything from formation to helping with corporate finance, mergers and acquisitions. But my real passion, as you mentioned, is helping companies to develop their cross-border, their international capabilities.
And that's just a fascinating area for our listeners. Ken, what types of and sizes of businesses do you work with, does your firm work with generally?
Well, we work with the small and medium-sized enterprise market. And so that might be anything from a startup that's got some venture backing or some angel financing, all the way to companies up to about $100 million in revenue.
Are a lot of those family businesses? Do you see a lot of what types of businesses? Manufacturing, all kinds of businesses?
Well, we do represent a number of family businesses, and we're sort of industry agnostic. I've worked in everything from oil and gas and entertainment to technology, life sciences, general manufacturing, low tech as well. Mm-hmm. But the important thing is that every business owner has an objective that they're trying to get to. In many cases, it's the exit, as you mentioned. And so it's really getting to understand our client, understand what motivates them, see where they want to be in the future, and then using law as a tool, helping that that business owner to achieve that objective.
If I were to ask you, what's a particular niche that you are known for. You mentioned working across the borders. Is that your niche? Is that what makes you different than everybody else out there?
Well, it's one niche, but I think what really separates us from many law firms is we try to be creative and out of the box in our thinking. We try not to be limited by just the dynamics of a document that's placed in front of us, but we really try to understand at a comprehensive global level what it is that a client is trying to obtain, and then we think of ways that we can add value to help them getting there. The international is certainly a big piece of it, and particularly today, you know, we're sort of sitting in the middle of a very historical change in American business, and it's gone a little bit under the radar, in part because of all the economic troubles that we've been feeling in the country since 2008. Mm-hmm. But about 5 years ago, The Economist magazine out of the UK published an article where they said that for the first time in the history of the world, the middle class was the largest class in the world. And they defined that as people, families that had a one-third disposable income. And since then, the base of gross domestic product production as well as consumer spending has been gradually shifting. And if you look at some of the research that's been done by McKinsey, for example, they're predicting that within 15 years, we're going to find more than half of the world's total gross domestic production and more than 51% of consumer spending coming from about 444 cities in the developing world, which Wow. means that Americans that are used to, if they're doing anything internationally, they're probably working with Western Europe or with Australia, with Canada. But really, we need to be thinking about how are we going to attract those money centers when they move into less charted territories. And that's a big part of what I like to help companies to do.
That's really a fascinating aspect of what's happening with this global economy. And what are the trends that you see that business owners should be aware of as they start thinking about these issues and looking at the global economy? What are some of the trends that are happening right now?
Well, I think the most important thing is that business owners need to look at their international presence as a fundamental and critical part of being able to sustain growth and profitability in future years. It's particularly important for the base that you mentioned earlier in the show of business owners who are looking for an exit in the 3 to 5 year period.
Right.
Because there's no better way to develop new value than to find your way into new markets that didn't exist before and to really make that company look attractive from an economic and also from a global perspective. The most important thing is to take a kind of a comprehensive strategic view in putting together an international plan. So many of our clients will come to us and say, I was at a trade show in Las Vegas and this fellow from Taiwan came and he's really wants to represent us, so we're going to start to become international.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they've done no homework as to what is the value of their product in the market. Is Taiwan really the best place to start? And it's much more important to be looking at not only where you think you can make sales, but what are the tax ramifications? How do the laws apply? Are you going to be able to protect your intellectual property? There are many, many considerations that go into that. And so a company really does itself a disservice if it doesn't take the time to build a plan, a business plan or a marketing plan equivalent to anything that you would use in this country.
And today's plan could quickly be out of date based on shifting currencies and shifting trends in manufacturing as well and consumer habits as well. So they really need to keep up to date on that. How often do you get together with clients who are working in this way to update them and help them to maybe readjust if they have to?
Well, I think one of the value-added services that we provide to clients is to help build a team of professionals that includes not just attorneys here and in other countries, but also CPAs, financial people, everybody that they need in order to be able to build that plan and make sure that it survives. You mentioned manufacturing. That's a perfect example of where the thinking today is very different from where it was even 5 years ago. And by that I mean traditionally a company might look at outsourcing their manufacturing, let's say to China as an example, in order to lower their cost of production.
Mm-hmm.
But really, with the consumer markets moving into those countries where they were outsourcing, it makes a lot more sense today to look not at a unilateral outsourced manufacturing play, but how can you develop a revenue base and profitability in that local market? And maybe instead of doing all your outsourcing in China, you also have manufacturing in Eastern Europe or in Latin America, and they become concentric circles of new markets that you can sell your products and services into.
That makes a tremendous amount of sense. We're talking with Kenneth August of August Law Group. And, Ken, it's fascinating information. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back to continue the discussion, we're going to talk about some, maybe some case studies, things that you've worked with, and give our listeners some tips and ideas. And we really enjoy having you here again. Kenneth August from August Law Group. Also, when we come back, we're going to have a second guest today. So stick around for John Livingston later in the show with Plethora Businesses.
If you came back from lunch today and there was a resignation letter on your desk, which employee would you really, really not want it to be from? More importantly, what are you doing to prevent this situation from happening in the first place? We work with business owners like you every day to design plans that attract, motivate, retain, and reward key employees. Don't wait until it's too late. Contact Bill Black, the Exit Coach, at 866-370-3774 for a free consultation on how to retain and reward your key employees. That's 866-370-3774. Call today.
Hey, sweetie. What's going on?
Well, honey, I have some news.
Okay. What?
All that training paid off. I got the job.
Oh, I knew you would get it. So when do you start?
When you donate stuff to Goodwill, you help provide job training for people right here in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
We're back with Kenneth August on the Exit Coach Radio Show, and Ken, we have talked about some fascinating things about working internationally with your business, and I think this is a lot of value for our baby boomer business owners. Now, can you give us a couple examples of some clients who maybe came to you with some questions or thoughts or strategies and exactly what you've been able to do for them to help them get into this this marketplace?
We have clients that have come to us, and as I mentioned, oftentimes their catalyst or their impetus to get into the international market has been something other than really a comprehensive overview of what would be best for them in a global sense. So, for example, we had a client come to us, and they have a relative who lives in Europe, and they were looking to set up an international outpost there so they could go on vacation there once a year. We really got into it and looked at it for them. We were able to show them that even though that might be a good place to go visit, it wasn't the best place for them to set up their international outpost. And so we were able to help them understand a little bit better what the value of being in the marketplace in other areas was relative to that particular market.
Nice place to visit, but you wouldn't want to do business there, right?
Well, what we wanted to do was show them how to maximize their cash returns on their investment in international business so that they could take a vacation anywhere they wanted to without worrying about necessarily building it into the business.
So these are things that they would probably have a very keen awareness of back in the U.S. working, you know, it's a business, we're doing it for profit, we have to maximize, we want to have our plan in the right place and all these types of things. But like most people, we get into foreign countries and we just think, oh, it's wonderful, it looks great, but we don't really think through these issues, and you help business owners really think through all these issues. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's a very good way to explain it. And what happens is when you go internationally, there are so many more moving parts and kind of bells and whistles that you need to be thinking about. No one company can do it themselves. They really need to have surrounded themselves with people who understand the markets that they're in, as well as international tax planning and some other things that drive the way that they're going to be making their international entry. And so we may not have all the answers, but we can at least show them where they need to have assistance and help them to make sure that they've got the resources ready to allocate in order to be successful so that they don't hopefully lose their shirts when they make that first entree.
Well, great stuff. We're talking with Kenneth August of August Law Group. And give us some maybe a story of someone who they came to you and things were in extreme disarray. Well, our show is all about ideas, tips, and precautions. So what are some precautions maybe that you can think of that you've seen some don'ts out there for our listening audience?
Well, we have a client, for example, which has a technology that they were going to distribute through a Mexican distributor, but that Mexican distributor, which is a very large company, has subsidiaries in all of the other parts of Latin America. And so what happened was they created a master agreement agreement with the Mexican parent company, and then they filtered down into little agreements in all the other countries where they were providing this product. Unfortunately, what they didn't understand when they went into it was that each of those little countries has a different way of taxing the product that's going in and licensing from an export perspective. It took more work for us to be able to build the model out for them than if they'd come to us initially.
Did you have to undo a lot of things, or were you able to work around their current arrangement, or what?
We worked around the current structure. We did have to make some specific language changes into the individual agreements with the various countries. But sometimes it's nothing more than understanding that there may be a withholding aspect to it that they weren't planning on.
All right, so it's always better to get your ideas and then first come and work with the professionals than to come back with them later with, although you probably don't mind, right? If somebody comes with a mess back to you, but it's better to plan it out in advance. If you're thinking about working internationally, come work with the experts and map it out first and really get a good idea of what the overall landscape is first, right?
We like to see companies be successful, and so one of the areas that helps them to do that is to understand what the resources might be within the country or countries that they're looking at going to. For example, the United States government, through its embassy system, has what are called foreign and commercial service officers. And these are Commerce Department attachés who sit in every embassy and every single consulate of the United States in each of the countries where we have diplomatic representation.
I see.
And their sole function is to help U.S. companies to develop business and export into those countries. Now, they can provide tremendous assistance in terms of even vetting potential partners, doing credit checks, helping to help companies come into those countries with various export restrictions and so forth. So they're the unsung hero of the United States government, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of business being able to go overseas.
You mean that somebody can actually say, I'm here with the government and I'm here to help?
That's exactly right.
That's great.
And then in addition to that, there are private sector organizations such as American Chambers of Commerce that might be in China and Vietnam and Brazil and all the places that you're looking to go. And what you've got there is a collection of people who've been doing business in those countries for decades, and they're more than willing to sit down and help a newcomer understand some of the pitfalls and traps as a practical matter that you maybe don't pick up in the academic study, but you know it because you've got boots on the ground.
Wow, that's fantastic. And that's a great idea for someone to do a lot of research as much as possible. We have the internet available, but they could probably come to your office or go through your website and figure out some of these things as well as a primary resource, right?
They can, but I will tell you that there's no substitute for actually getting on a plane and going to see the country where you want to do business. And if you're looking at a distribution partner or a manufacturing partner, sitting down, having a meal, looking into their eyes and getting a trust understanding of whether or not you feel comfortable with these guys.
So should they go explore the local culture, talk to some of these people you're talking about? What other tips can you give them? What other things could they do? You know, at the early stages, are there any type of consultations they could have, for instance, to talk about, I'm thinking about China or Vietnam or some of these other areas, what's your experience been, or do you offer something like that for your clients?
Well, I think it's a little bit of common sense as well. I mean, we happen, especially here in California, we have such a melting pot of people from different countries that have had business and financial experiences. There are chambers of commerce here locally for many of the countries where we consider doing business. And so you can actually develop a lot of kind of hands-on information just from talking to people locally that may have done that type of work before.
That's great. So when should a business owner first call you? What's your experiences? I mean, you also work with businesses on U.S. soil as well, right? So
yes, we do. And any time that they have a business matter, a contract, or they're looking to raise money through financing and they need help with the securities laws and things like that, we're more than willing to help. And I think in terms of the international piece of it, as soon as they have an idea that they would like to try to grow their business by making steps internationally, it's never too early to get the right team involved. And many people will consult and kind of help them to get to that place and get an understanding relatively inexpensively.
So if I were to ask you for two or three tips or takeaways for listeners that are considering moving and doing business internationally, Could you sum us up with a couple quick tips for our listeners?
Yes, I would say probably, you know, do your homework.
Mm-hmm.
Write that plan so it's a comprehensive plan and you've strategically thought from the top down about what it is you want to accomplish, and then surround yourself with the right team of professionals that can help you execute on the plan.
When they're doing their homework, you mentioned a few websites earlier. Can you just give us a quick refresh on what some of those are?
Every embassy and consulate has foreign and commercial service officers. So if you decided you wanted to be selling into, let's say, Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states, you might go to those embassies and those consulates and talk to the American embassy or consulate personnel who specifically work on international trade.
That makes sense. Okay. How would listeners get in touch with you to find out more about your services, and what will they find if they go to your website, for instance?
They can come to the website, which is www.augustlawgroup.com. It gives an explanation of what we're doing. We actually have a big website overhaul going on now, and so before the end of the year, we'll be a much more robust website, or they're welcome to email me or to call.
Okay. And then when they get there, are there reports or things that they can pull off of your website?
The new site that we're putting up is going to have a lot more in terms of blog and general information on various subjects.
Any other things you'd like to say about any of your partners or any other specialty areas in your practice?
We do have a specialty in finance, corporate finance and securities. And my most senior associate is an SEC specialist and does a lot of work helping in private placements or small public companies that need assistance. Because we're a boutique, we try to be very low cost and responsive and a better experience than dealing with the large law firms.
Excellent. Hey, we had a question come in from one of our listeners, Paul. What's our question?
Somebody wanted to know, how do you find an international attorney? Do they just go to the Bar Association? Are there sections for this? Or they're thinking of doing business in some country. How do they find somebody who knows that? How would they find somebody to help them work overseas?
There are some websites that list attorneys and give the practice areas that they can do a keyword search. Martindale Hubbell is one. They could go to the Bar Association. There are specialty sections that deal with international law. And of course, within international law, it becomes very specialized as well. Some are just litigators that deal with cross-border litigation. Other people are employment law specialists. There's a variety of ways.
How do they find the Bar Association? Does each county have its own Bar Association?
There's a state Bar Association. There are national Bar Associations like the American Bar, and then there are counties like the Orange County Bar Association.
Okay.
And they all have individual segments that are based on international.
Okay, good information here.
Well, Ken August of August Law Group, www.augustlawgroup.com. This has been a fascinating interview, and I've learned a lot. Hopefully our listeners have been paying attention, because you've given us quite a bit of information and quite a few good ideas. Thanks very much for coming on to the show, and I hope that we can have you back on again sometime soon, Ken. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Bill. My pleasure.